here's something we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
Yeah, we're the number one live streaming show that I'm the host of.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
Streaming live. Feel the power!
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe, and if this is looking a little different, it is. Okay, I had a little panic attack as I'm moving, as you guys all know, I've been talking about for weeks, and I was like freaking out. I'm like, oh man, I've added some stuff, I've added some gear to my setup here, but will it fit in the suitcase, in the box? Like, will it fit? Will it go? Will it fly? I don't know. So I got to figure it out. So I just kind of started in a rush, tearing stuff down, putting stuff in the suitcase, and then I realized, like, oh, I have two more shows this week. So today, here in just a few minutes, we're going to be bringing on a failure guy, Ben Currier. It's going to be joining us from the Failure Guy podcast. Super interesting dude. Met him on Clubhouse a while ago, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Got a little leak that happened this week over in New Zealand, and it's going to be a real good news for some of you creators. Going to be pretty excited about it. Going to share some of that as well. But before we jump into it, I want you to hit that subscribe button wherever you're watching from. If you're watching on Bullhorn or Guild or YouTube in particular, go hit that subscribe, that follow button. And if you're listening to this after the live stream and you couldn't join us, no problem, but go hit that follow button on your podcast player and do me a favor, give me some ratings and reviews. Let me know if you guys like the show. Good, bad, ugly, shut up, Billy, say more, say less, whatever. All that stuff is pretty fun. So yeah, my setup today is pretty basic. I wasn't going to use a microphone at all. I was going to use headphones, Bluetooth headphones, and then I started freaking out, and I was like, nah, get my Rodecaster out. So I ripped it all back out real quick, but I left my camera and all that stuff. So we're going like 50% tech today. But tomorrow, that's going to be good for tomorrow, because I'm going to be on with James Hicks, and it's called What the Tech, and we're going to be talking about all this tech stuff, and we're going to be all these places plus Amazon Live. So yeah, maybe I'll have some stuff to be able to show you, because usually I'm using it all. But anyway, enough of all that stuff. Let me know where you're watching from in the comments. If I can even find the comments, because I'm running on one screen as well. This is ridiculous. Like, who does this? What's up, Sid Meadows? Sid Meadows in the chat saying what's up. Appreciate everybody jumping in and saying hello. Now let's go ahead and jump over to our creator highlight, and then we'll jump into that little news I'm talking about. Here
creator
we go.
Creator highlights.
No cooking necessary. No assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, today's creator highlight is brought to you by Maven Coffee. So Maven sources the finest micro lots from Colombia. You can experience specialty coffees curated by the Maven team and made available to you after each harvest. It's my daily drinker. It's my daily cup of Joe or whatever. It's Maven. So go to their website, mavencoffee.com. And if you aren't a coffee drinker, then just head over to buymeacoffee.com/Billy Thorpe, and I will drink a cup of coffee on your behalf. You buy it, I'll drink it. So there you go. Maven Coffee, go check those guys out. And today's creator highlight goes to Steve Worthy, of the host of Podcasters Live. Podcasters Live is for podcasters who want to use live streaming to engage directly with their audience and grow their podcast. They're on a mission to help podcasters build community and increase audience engagement through live streaming. So you can go check out what Steve's got going on. Super, super creator, public speaker, like a really inspirational guy. So go check him out, podcasterslive.com. All right, now let's jump over here real quick to Nee, because Nee says, hello, Billy, people, no mom jokes. All right, I maybe cracked a mom joke, like every 35-year-old still should. On Nee's thing. Nee, I publicly apologize for the mom joke. If, in fact, your mother is really deceased, and if that was a troll move, I don't apologize. But I do apologize if it was. But Nee's actually a part of this other segment called News to Me, so let's go ahead and jump over there.
That's news to me.
Creating Daily. All right, so yesterday, is when I heard about this, there was a New Zealand online retailer who leaked the Rodecaster Pro 2. So they actually had it listed on their website with all the features, which is pretty crazy. And it was crazy. So anyway, so Nee, actually this is kind of a conglomeration. So there's a guy in our community named Rafael DeFuria. I've put him on the show before, or not, he's not been on the show, but he's been highlighted on the show. He found out about it, tipped off me tipped off Michael, and Michael of Sterling Clear Audio. You can check it out. Sterlingclear.online is where Michael wrote a blog article and was able to go to that New Zealand website, capture all this information about the Rodecaster Pro 2, which is so, so sick. However, it's just not hearsay. We were actually in a group last night in a room, a clubhouse room. There's a Rodecaster Pro room, happens every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And we were in there just speculating and having a really good time. And all of a sudden, this guy jumps on the stage and is like, yeah, I work for Rode. And then all of a sudden, we're like, is this true? Is it not true? Did you guys get our hopes up? What's going on? And it is confirmed true. And he was really surprised that Raphael and me and Michael were able to sniff this out. So yeah, look for an announcement coming, I guess, in a week. I think that was the timeline. They said a week that the Rodecaster Pro 2 is going to be out, which I'm pretty excited about. I'm gonna probably get it. And Nee says he has more information, which is awesome as well. But you can get all the details up to this moment from sterlingclear.online and check that out. But one of the features it's going to have is more powerful preamps, so it'll actually power this whatever the heck I'm using, the Shure SM7B without a FET head adapter. So anyway, I'm pretty stoked on that. That's going to be good. And that is all I got for news, for all that fun stuff. Now, I'm going to welcome on, and I'm just going to remind Ben to unmute himself because I asked him to mute. Here we go. Ben Currier, the failure guy. What's happening, man?
What's funny is that I just heard about this on the LinkedIn Live I was doing earlier because he said he bought it. Did you have anybody say they bought it? Because my guy said he bought one. He said he got his order in. And I didn't even know they were out.
I don't think so. I think that guy's full of crap.
He threw it in at the end. It's LinkedIn Seb, if you know him from Clubhouse.
Wait, he bought it? Wait, is he like a big influencer?
He said, I don't know, but he didn't tell me that the Rodecaster 2 even existed. He said that he had ordered one, or his order went through, or something to that effect. So I feel like he bought one. But also, I've prepared a lot for this. This is about John Daly, right? And his career, his long-storied career.
This is about John Daly and the Daly. Yeah, absolutely. He nailed it.
He lost $50 to $60 million in a 15-year period, and he was found drunk outside of a Hooters. I've got a whole lot more of how he was created, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm super. Super pumped. So this is the episode where we just talk about other people's failures. Is that it? And just roast them. That could have been a really good episode. We should have thought about that one.
I don't know what the plan is, but also that's amazing about the Rodecaster Pro. So what's the best thing? It's the 16 times powerful SDNE saying. We've got the preamp thing, so you can power a 48, whatever the hell thing.
Yeah, right? 7B, yep, without the 48 phantom power or whatever it is. I don't know.
Because I use the Rode Pod mic. This doesn't need powered, right?
You don't need anything. Yeah, it goes. Yeah. And then I think it's going to be like USB-C. I don't know, dude. There's all kinds of stuff. Like those guys were getting nerdy on it last night. They're like, I could run dual computers and I could, you know, I can control the Alpha Dog spaceship, you know, made by Tesla and Starlink into my, you know, neck hole or whatever. Like, I don't even know. Anyway.
Shout out to you, Billy, for showing me about the headphone jack on the front of it. That I just learned about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, dude, no problem.
It's amazingly
man.
Blowing my mind. So if anybody else struggles with that, I was using the quarter inch thing.
So your head's not just like doing that all day. Like,
it's not even that. It was just losing a connection because of the dongles or whatever I was
using. Dude, mine, 3 of the 4 channels on my Rodecaster on the back, headphone channels, don't even work. It's only like left or right channel. It ticks me off. But anyway.
I got a refurbed one. Did you do it? The Sterling method and get refurbished.
I went right to the source and bought it, like brand spanking new. So, my plan is to get back to the States next week. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Send this thing back.
Where are you?
Get it fixed.
I don't even know.
I'm in Puerto Rico.
I forgot you're in PR.
Yeah. So hanging out here for another week, and then and that's why you know all this stuff is stressing me out, dude.
The headphone jack's removed. I just found out about it, and now it's gone.
Oh, yeah. So on the second one, there's no more headphone jack in the front. That's like an amateur move, man. I love the producer headphone jack or whatever they call it.
Is there still one just not in the front?
Yeah, there's still 4 in the back, so.
So we have to do what I was doing? Meaning they got rid of the thing?
Yeah, so you're going to go. Move? So if you buy the second one, you're going to go back to doing that.
I'm good with this forever, or at least for a long time.
Yeah, man. You know, the new one is going to be cool because, anyway, I'm not going to get into it. This is not about that. This is not about
what is it about
Road being a failure. This is about embracing failure. This is about giving failures hugs, Ben. And you've come on the show to tell us what does that even mean. So, man, let's tee this thing up. Let's get started. Tell me what, in your words, what the heck is failure to you?
So to me and Sid get in it on this because every time he forgets that we basically come into the same point. But Sid's like, I don't believe in failure. And what I say is that the real true definition of failure for me is that if you do something and you don't succeed at it, like you don't achieve what you wanted, and then you don't learn from it, you like Men in Black yourself or you purge that information, that's a failure. If you fail and you learn from it, that's the point. You know, that's what you got to do in order to be successful. But if you pay the price of experiencing the failure, don't just try to forget it as soon as possible. Actually learn from it, because that's the best teaching experience. And even hearing other people's failures doesn't do it as much justice as feeling those moments, because it's so powerful. I can never forget the things I've learned because I messed up so bad, you know?
So, man, is that what inspired you to start a podcast called The Failure Guy? Or, like, tell me the origin story of this podcast.
So, Creating John Daly starts like this. So, basically, I got the failure license plate first. My thoughts were, I've been reading so many self-help books, and I can't implement any of the good things, but they all say to get comfortable with failure, so I'm going to put it on my license plate. I'll be reminded of every day. I'll get comfortable with failure. Also, I was a Prius, and it had already been totaled in a hailstorm, so it looked like a golf ball, basically. And so everyone already is judging me. I figured pop a failure plate on it. It'll maybe decrease road rage, increase laughter, who knows. And then I was like, also, I'll have to look at that every day and be reminded of failure and the importance of it and just getting used to it. So then I decided I was going to write a book. I don't know if I can swear here, so I'm not going to, but it's The Power of Effing Up. Or The Power of Failure, or why I'm happy I was fired from every job I've ever had. One of those things. And
Did I just not do a good job researching? Or if I just never seen this book? Or you didn't market it properly? What's happening?
I didn't write the book. I realized I only know one brand of failure. I only know my getting fired thing. I'm going to make a podcast interviewing other people about their failures to help either supplement the book or just because I wanted to do a podcast. I had already been doing a podcast. I tried to do a podcast with a friend about Mad TV. We were going to watch every Mad TV episode and do a podcast episode about it. We got through one and we just couldn't work together. So we scrapped that. And then I was like, I'm trying to write this book. I probably wrote like 3,000 words of it. And I'm like, I'll just make it into a podcast and I'll do it myself and I control everything. And then I can't fail as easily, you know. It's tough when you got a co-host situation and you're not on the same page.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. We can talk about that all day. I've been in some of those situations. So, man, I think this is interesting that you were, you know, kind of going into creating a book, which I think is pretty cool. Have you considered taking your podcast and having that transcribed into a book now that you've got a ton of content?
That was the idea. It was like to get some, because I'm not sure what the rules are, but I'm assuming any of the interviews and stuff, we can take some of the stories and things and put it into a book format. But also, I'm writing a book right now called When Givers Meet, which is about, if you've read the book The Go-Giver, it's all about having basically a mindset in business to be giving instead of trying to think about what's in it for you kind of thing. And so my thing is about when people who have that mentality, two givers meet, it's like a giver's arms race, and like you just keep trying to give to each other and both people benefit like to the extreme. So I'm writing a book about that. This will eventually become a book, but also I've got like a failure guy story that's worth a book itself, because I went through some crazy stuff. I thought that when I got the license plate it would all be historical, but negative manifestation must be real, because I have probably experienced just as much failure after getting it than even all those firings. And by the way, I was 5 for 6 getting fired when I started the podcast, and I got fired during the podcast.
Wait, did you say number 6? You've been fired from 6 places?
6 for 6 since graduating college. I never got fired from being a waiter. I didn't get fired from my internship. But everything after college, I was fired from.
So did you like take that on as your failure, or did you just think like, this is just bad, you know, like bad collaboration or whatever? Like, how did you view that?
So, like, each one has its own story of, like, whose fault I think it would be. The first one probably be my fault. But also, like, this... So, corporate America is a tough place to work. And so, if you're not into the politics stuff, it can be difficult when you don't want to play those kind of games. But when I first started, I didn't even know about corporate politics. So, it was more like each time I got fired, in the book, what I was going to do is each time I got fired is like what I did wrong, but then what I also thought the employer could have done better to make it so that I wasn't let go. Because I was never bad in terms of an employee, you know? Like, I make amazing Excel spreadsheets. I decided I was going to get better at the software, not play the politics game, but you can't not do that. And then also, I'm from Boston, and we sound, the closer we are to you, the more we drop our tone and drop how much of a facade we're putting on. So I might say something like, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. And it's like, you're not the worst, but that idea is.
And they're like, you're fired, Ben. Get your stuff and like, get out of here. You're the worst.
For some reason, no. And I haven't said anything like that level. But the point was, I wouldn't hide my feelings. I'm not going to pretend to go along with it. And each time I got fired, so like six times. So like, here's work me and home me. Two different people. I'd pretend to like sports and stuff and whatever. Whatever made me, you know, fit in. Like, each time I got fired, I became my real self. And then now I'm just myself all the time. You know, it took me six times to go, maybe I shouldn't be in corporate America because they won't let me stay.
Yeah.
Really.
So
honestly.
You know what I think is interesting about this, man? I kind of share a similar story because there's just places where I just didn't fit. I'm like, man, and it was great opportunities. It was amazing opportunities. I mean, I worked at this one place, amazing opportunities, great people, super amounts of fun, really vibrant. But, dude, I was just miserable, and it just didn't work. You know, it was just like, man, I don't enjoy this. You guys don't enjoy this. Let's just draw the line in the sand and be friends but walk away. But I think so many times in our system that we grew up in, especially in the United States, is like, go to school, put your head to the ground, you know, sit at your desk, raise your hand when you're asked, do what you're told, do all these 15 steps, and then do that for 12 years, get out, go to college for 4 more years, spend $100,000, and go get a job, put your tie on, and go sit down, do what you're told, and raise your hand. And I think that, one, I won't get into it too much, but, you know, I think that system is pretty flawed, pretty messed up, and I will do everything I can to protect my child from being subject to that, you know, to that. Do you feel like that's the same for you, man? Do you feel like that you were kind of that outside dude, like, through school, or was this just when you started doing career stuff?
So I was amazing in school, by the way, and also I have an MBA, so I have a master's in business, which I'm still paying off, and I don't think is worth it. So I'm kind of on the same page with you for a lot of it, but I'm going to tell you why, because my stepdad, when I was growing up, he would do hot tar roofing in the summer, and then he would be plowing in the winter because I was living in Boston, so for the seasons. He did tons of manual labor, and I was like, I can't do that. I like physically can't do that. So he always told me, you either pay now and play later, or play now and pay later. And he said he played when he was younger. He didn't do schoolwork. He just messed around. And so he then had to pay for it once he grew up. He told me if I paid and did my schoolwork and everything, then I can play later. And then I graduated and everything, and I'm like, why am I not playing? Do I never get to play? And it's like, oh no, work for 40 years or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, where's the play at, you know? And so my first job, I got fired for playing a video game actually at the company. But that was at KPMG, where I was an auditor. And like you were saying, so like, when you're an auditor, by the way, no one wants you there. The company you're auditing doesn't want you there. I don't want to be there. So why do I want to go somewhere where they don't even want me to be there? And then you look at your future. The partner's there till 10 p.m. at night still. That's the future? That's the goal? I'm like, this is something's way out of whack here. And also, I learned none of the skills I needed in college to do this. I got like one Excel class, and it was barely an Excel class, and I do 99% of my work in Excel. So I was like, that's why I even started teaching it, because I'm like, this is insane. So I did it all for free, too. I was like, I paid so much money, I didn't even get what I needed. Here, everybody, just for free, take all this stuff, because you should learn it, and I didn't want to have like a gap. Hey, Gabe.
Gabe's here. She's shouting you out, man. He's saying, Two live streams in one day. Now, this is only this is the second of what, three or four? You're doing how many?
And the next one's not live. It's my own Failure Guy podcast we're recording. And then the other one isn't live, but it is six people at a bar in Lawrence, Kansas, live. So it's like six mics into a.
No way. Six people at a bar live streaming. No way that's going to go south at all. Not a chance.
What's funny is that there's no background noise, and then they add bar background noise. But it's a little too loud. I was like, oh, you should drop that down a bit. But it's fun. It's I hadn't ever done a live one, so it's nice. And they do it every Wednesday, and it's nearby. So I'm
Cool.
Gonna try to. I was a guest last time. Now I'm gonna try to become regular on the show. But Gabe, you're following me around. I love it. Yeah, but I was on with Seb, and he did mention the Rodecaster Pro or two, right? Gabe, did he say he bought it? Do you remember?
I don't know. I don't know if Gabe did. I don't know. Oh, you're asking Gabe if the other guy on the stream said he bought it, the Rodecaster Pro 2. I mean, if so, man, I'd love to know where he bought it from. Because
you were like, I got this news. I'm like, there's no way I know any news. And I just had heard it from the LinkedIn I was on.
Well, dude, let's get back to your failure. Because, and really, I just wanted to kind of make a point of like, I don't know that failure is what we think it is. Like, I think it is what people tell us it is. But oftentimes, I don't feel like a failure from having multiple jobs because I did take a piece from each one of those things and implement it into my life. But the thing is, real quick,
go for it. The fear of failure is what it is. It's like FDR thing, you know, the fear of the thing we have to fear is fear itself because we're so scared to do anything that we don't do things because we might fail. And that's like a permanent mark on who we are or whatever. But if you have a growth mindset, the book Mindset by Carol Dweck is great and part of what helped me unlock like the stuff that made me look at failure not as a bad thing is like you fundamentally can change everything about yourself. So why judge yourself permanently for something you're doing when you're just learning, you know?
Yeah, man, I agree with that 100%. So what is the situation where it's like a real failure? Because I feel like the only real failure is me going, hey, I'm gonna walk this tightrope across Grand Canyon with no harness, safety, and then I just fall to my death. Like, I think that's, like, a pretty bad
Here's what I would say is, like, you cannot deny that, or I would not argue with what I'm about to say in any situation that I know of, is that if going back in time, you wouldn't do it again. If you could go back, you would choose not to do it. That's got to be a failure. That's got to be something you failed at, you know, if you want to change it. Because you don't know how you're going to mess up things, but
that's true.
Space-time continuum and all that jazz. You don't, but if you really are like, oh, that was it was something immoral you did and you felt like gross about it or something.
Sure. So that's a failure. I could see doing that. I could see doing that, but I don't know that, but I'm with you, man. I do think a lot of people, maybe they look back and they go, oh man, I screwed this up. And then they don't take steps to do anything else in the future. Or maybe they're clean slate, you know, whatever, and they still don't take any risk in the future.
Or it's like, you know, one failure, okay, maybe I can do it again, like two, three, then they're like, I don't want to do the thing ever again. Like this, and especially like podcasting.
True.
For a long time, there's no listeners, you know? For a long time, you're talking to the void, and you got to just get comfortable with that because a lot of people, that's why so many podcasts fail, because people just give up. They think, it'll never, you know, I can't do this. I can't keep facing this amount of failure. But, you know, if you change the way you view things or the goals you set, like I try to make my goals all about how many podcast episodes I do, not how many downloads I get, so that as long as I'm doing them, I'm accomplishing the goal. If they get 1,000, 4,000, two downloads, it doesn't matter. A year into my podcast, I'm still getting one download a day. And then it finally popped up. But it's like, most people give up before that point. And sometimes you should give up if you got a bad idea. But if you got something that's solid and you think it'll work, you know, sticking with it is something that rewards you because not a lot of people do that kind of thing.
So in order to have a failure, you got to have a metric of success, right? So what is...
So I think, no, the real failure is not doing something that you know you should do out of fear of not succeeding. Because even if you... I don't care how much you don't succeed. Yeah. That's not failing as long as you're learning. But it's discovery.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, if we agree on that then, because I think a lot of people view failure as the lack of success. It's like, well, yes. I didn't reach it. But then you get to really kind of go come back, you know, especially as a creator. And this is what the show is all about, is creating and creating mm-hmm. daily in different perspectives. So it's like, how do I pull back the curtain a little bit and go, but what is success? Like, what is success for a podcast? I mean, I have this podcast, Creating Daily. Maybe we get, you know, if we get 5-6 people watching it live or 10 people across multiple platforms, I'm like, dude, I'm stoked, man. That's 10 people. Like, that's cool. If they walked right in my office right now, we wouldn't fit. Mm-hmm. I got a small office. And then if it gets downloaded 10, 20, 15 times, I'm stoked on it. I'm like, oh, this is great. Well, then I have a fishing podcast that does 20,000 downloads and views every single month. And I'm still just as stoked on creating daily numbers as I am the fishing podcast numbers.
How do you, what's your, where do you get your happiness from there?
Because that's my metric, is like, what am I happy doing? It's not really like how many people, you know, if I go into the grocery store, how many people come up and say, hey man, I saw you on the fishing podcast. Like, that doesn't matter to me. It matters to me, like, the feeling I get afterward, after this interview, when I'm like, dude, I'm going to be zinged up, ready to rock, you know, cause I love doing this stuff. So,
So you just reminded me of one of my biggest failures. It's
well, let's talk about it. Yeah,
that I haven't really talked about. So it's the first time, the second time I've ever been recognized publicly as being the failure guy. So it was the second time someone goes, "Hey, are you the failure guy?" You know, one person. The first person was someone who lived in the apartment complex. I had had it on my license plate and my bumper sticker, so like that made sense. The next one, I was at a bar in downtown Kansas City, and they were like, are you the failure guy? And I'm like, you don't know who I am. So what do you, how do you know? Like, who sent you? Like, I got not thrilled. I was like,
I swear
suspicious.
I paid my taxes. I swear.
And they said, you're the one who crashed into my car last year. And so this car is no longer, it's totaled twice. It got totaled by the hailstorm. And then I also crashed it into a parked car, and it was her parked car. And she was a bartender at a random bar downtown. And I happened to be, a friend was late. So I went to a random place, popped in, and she told me she was the one who got hit. So, by the way, she only spent $800 on her car. Originally, she got $4,500 from insurance. I convinced them it wasn't my fault, even though I hit a parked car at 3 a.m. on a Saturday wearing pink pants and a failure license plate. It was not my fault, according to the public record.
Oh my gosh. No way.
But there
no
there way. Went my car, and that's why I'm in Kansas City, because I literally crash landed here, and I had my stuff was spread all over Kansas, kind of like you're moving or whatever. Yeah. I had multiple Prius fulls that were spread across you know, different motels and stuff, and then that Prius I hit 2 weeks prior, I hit it with a deer with it, and then this is why negative manifestation is definitely a thing. And then I had fallen asleep while driving and hit that parked car. But I said that I avoided another car that was coming at me. I decided to hit a parked car instead of, that was my logic. I had to think real quick.
So when you say, you know, I don't know if that's like on the record, like if hopefully nobody in Kansas City is like, oh, really? This is the real story. Let's bring this guy in.
But, I've said it a few times, so I'm expecting good. It to bite me in the ass.
Yeah, it'll come
one
back
one of these five people is definitely going to get me.
So dude, you keep saying this phrase, negative manifestation. What do you mean by that?
So people say it, and a lot of times they talk about positive manifestation. So like The Secret and stuff like that, where you have a vision board, you think about all the good things you want, and you attract that. And so by putting failure on my license plate, the joke is that negative manifestation, like a self-fulfilling prophecy, like you put the failure out there on this car, and then it failed miserably. Like I hit that deer. By the time when I hit the deer, my front right door, my driver's side door wouldn't open, so I had to recline the seat all the way back and do like a somersault out the back left window door. And that was when I first met like some of the people I knew out here. So I just looked like a total jackass. And the failure plate, it all went together really well. And it seemed like that car was destined for failure based on, but I don't know how much of it. So like what they're saying is that the more negativity you focus on or put out there, that you attract that to yourself. And so if I had put success on my license plate, maybe I wouldn't have crashed it, would be the idea of someone who believes a lot in positive or negative manifestation. But I believe it in the sense of the more you focus on something negative. So what I'm actually trying to do is take the sting out of the word. Everyone hates this word so much. It's insane.
Gotcha, yeah.
I don't have that relationship with
it.
A lot of people go, no, I don't like that word. We'll call it a mistake, or we'll call it a learning thing or whatever. And I'm like, yes, that's the point. This is not a final destination. This is just part of the journey, but we got to be comfortable with it.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because you're going to feel like a failure, you know, you'll have those moments.
Yeah, man. Okay, so I get where you're coming from now. You know, I think I was probably with everybody else where I'm like, why would this guy put a tag on his car that says failure? Not because I'm like, bad juju, you're going to wreck. But, I mean, I think if you're trying to, like, capture this word and say, hey, man, if you embrace this thing, it's going to happen. You're going to feel this way. You're going to feel like a failure, but there's, you know, a way around it. There's a way out of it. And spin that positive message, I think it's good. Is that what you're doing? Or
well, there was an unexpected, amazing benefit from it. So. All right. Exposure therapy. When you are driving a car for a year and a half and it says failure on it, every time someone drives by you or takes a picture of your license plate or whatever, you're wondering what they're thinking of you. So you have to focus on their judgment of you. By a year into it, like, I'm not even thinking as I'm on the license. I mean, on my steering wheel, I'm forgetting I even have the license plate because I've experienced so much worrying about what people think. And I'm past it. I don't care, you know, because I've thought about it like 800 times as people pass me on the highway. Like, eventually you're like, okay, well, no one cares about me. I've been surprised that I've like stopped and talked to people. I even had a thing on my, it had the website, failureguy.com. On the website, it said, send me the picture you took. I know there's people taking pictures because they kept taking out their phones and I could see it. So if they took a picture, they should be able to read that there's a website. They should go to the website. It's the top thing was, email me a picture. I got one picture in like a year. I'm like, I would have been done that in 2 seconds. So it's hard to get people to do stuff. One day I had a phone number, 530 failure on the side of my car on a big poster board. And I had a live podcast set up going on in my car and nobody called all the whole time. It was like a 3-day road trip. I was like, how can nobody does anything these days is what I learned. So like with digital marketing stuff, you got to really,
or maybe they just didn't want the failure guy to have their phone number. I mean, maybe that's the thing. Like, I'm not going to call some dude that's like, I'm the failure guy. Please call me. Let's hang out. Like, no, dude, no.
But I didn't have any problem with it, and I also didn't view it as a failure. I made a giant poster board. I taped to my car. Like, I did a bunch of work. I made a phone number. All sorts of things.
So hold on,
I had the setup ready to go, but no one called, and that's no big deal.
I get a question for you. If you're driving down the interstate, whatever that is for you, 40 or whatever goes out west, and you see a guy who's got a giant poster board marked up with call me, you know, whatever podcast, this or that, are you in? Are you that person that's calling? I feel like 90% of people are like, I'm not calling.
Calling, I'm befriending this person. I'm definitely getting involved. But that's, so I'm my own. Yeah, I'm the only one who'd follow my own stupid ideas. I got a bumper sticker that said, honk if you're a big failure. And I thought I was going to get so many honks, but it was a honk deterrent. It like stopped people from road raging because they didn't want to be a big failure. I was like, I've only gotten two honks in like 2 months.
You're just like brake checking people. Like,
nobody likes failure. I didn't realize people hated it that much. You know, I was like, if I say I'm the world's number one failure, there's no competition because no one wants to be that. So that's why I chose that title. And then I realized, wow, people really, really hate it. So We Buy Ugly Houses, that's a good example of a company that like tries to brand themselves that way. But I thought if I'm the world's number one failure, you can't think I'm talking down to you. My advice has to be coming from below you, right?
All right. Okay. I mean, this makes sense.
And the other thing is like everybody's social media is their highlight reel. It's not what's really happening. And so
that's true.
I want successful people to talk about the bad times because they're talking about the good times. And once you hit success, you don't want to, you know, hey, look at all the things I messed up with. It's usually like, oh, finally I did it. I don't have to fail anymore. But it's important that people know that's part of the process. You have to do that to succeed.
Yeah, man, I definitely agree with you there, man. I think there's, in all the things that we do, right, especially as creators, like live streamers, podcasters, YouTubers, especially, whatever, it's like this is a lot of trial and error. And if anybody's like, yeah, I got it all figured out, here's my, you know, guaranteed system to work for you as a creator, I call BS because I'm like, man, every person, even if I have an idea and I'm using someone's format or someone's using my format, It's like they're still going to figure out who they are within that world. And I think that's what, you know, we're talking about here today is like, it's okay to quote unquote fail. It's okay to, you know, fall on your face. It's okay to whatever, because you're going to come out of that and you're going to grow and you're going to be a better person. And you're going to know something you didn't know and hopefully discover yourself. And, you know, and that's for me, man, here in Puerto Rico, dude, like I'm going to do an episode called Dear Puerto Rico, where I just literally talk about all the lessons I've learned, all the things that I'm now grateful for that I wasn't, all the things I took for granted. You know, it's like there's so much when you get outside of your comfort zone and you completely leave that it, you know, ultimately, and people think I live in paradise, you know, and it is paradise, but paradise isn't, and I said this the other day on a LinkedIn or whatever, like IG is, dude, paradise isn't a place. It's a perspective. And I've learned that while being in Puerto Rico. And so I love that, you know, you are the guy who's saying, hey, let's not take the F word and make it bad, but let's figure out how do we leverage it? How do we take that energy, that negative energy, and leverage it for ourselves, not just saying, well, I'm not failing, I'm learning, but really say, okay, cool, I failed. I screwed up. I didn't do this right. I messed up. But now how do I learn from that and pivot? So I like it, man. You're kind of hitting this objection head on, which is pretty cool.
Well, I needed to do it to figure out what was wrong with myself getting fired all the time. Like, if I'm smart and I can do my job right, like, what's going on? Like, what's my problem? I want to face that. And then for me, it had to be self-deprecating and labeling myself negatively rather than, you know, doing the imposter syndrome thing and puffing out my feathers. I wanted to be like, I honestly don't even brag about something unless I'm like in the top 1% of it, you know, because I know how much there is to know about things. And so therefore I have like a healthy amount of skepticism about my own abilities and things like that. So I do teach Microsoft Excel. I'd say I'm I've only met a few people who I think are better than me, but I'm sure there's a decent amount. But like,
there a competition for Microsoft Excel?
So they give out these Microsoft.
Oh, let's look.
Microsoft does. This is a MVP award from Microsoft, who makes the product. So I won it 4 years. They give you these if you win it.
Oh, that's dope.
But it's 4,000 people across all of their software. So not 4,000 Excel people, but 4,000 whatever, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, whatever it is, per year are awarded that thing. And I probably could have kept going with it, but I didn't provide enough info or whatever. You know, there's like, you got to show how much stuff you've done throughout the time, but at least I did a 4-year stint of getting the award from the people who make it. And also, yeah,
that's pretty dope.
Like Investopedia lists me as one of the 6 best Excel classes of 2022. And I know they just roll forward the year. I saw it in 2021. It was the same list. But hey, I don't mind because it's a dope site, but I don't use these things. I don't use my mailing list. I don't use the good press. I've had such an aversion to sales. Like my first 8 years, it was all free. And most of all my free stuff's still on there, and I barely point to you're the guy who likes promotes making money, but I still struggle with it a lot because I don't like doing things for the sake of money.
You know? Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, and I guess I'm gonna ask you this question: Are you not asking for the sale because you're afraid of failure in sales?
No,
I had to ask.
I think what it is. So, like, for example, the Excel thing, when I was doing it for free, I was having fun. It's like when it goes from a hobby to the work thing.
You know? Papa Sid in the comments. Yeah. He's going to get you.
I paid Sid to coach me, so, I mean, it makes sense. but I got to dig into the fact that what I do with Excel is not boring. I say it's boring all the time because that's a general perspective on it. Mm. But there's a lot of people who geek out on it, you know, and I got to, like, be more embracing of it. But the point is I've put that in a boring spot of my own life. So I call this all podcrastinating from the thing I should be doing, which is the business, because it could be doing well if I was spending more time doing it. I've actually got interns and stuff working on it and I'm trying to make it better. But it's hard once money gets introduced. It's like me and you're hanging out, you know, we're having fun and we're having a good conversation. And this third guy, money, comes in and then he just makes it weird. He's like doing all this weird stuff and makes us act weirder towards each other. And for me, it's like I haven't figured out how to get past that mentally, because I think growing up broke or in a lower middle class family who money was always a stressful subject, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't like bringing up money with people in general, and especially when it's that they have to pay me, even if they're paying much more value than they're paying me. You know, I've done all the mental gymnastics to get past why I shouldn't care, but still, when something is done just without it being financial for me, I have more fun and it's more. So I need is some other person to make money also. If then I can focus on their benefit from it, so I might even make a fictional person in my head now named Ralph who makes 10% every time I make money.
And bro, I was going to say, way, if you need somebody to give 10% to every time you make a deal, like, sign me up. I'll be like,
yeah,
oh,
for sure.
Creating Daily brought to you by Failure Guy Podcast. Here we go.
Exactly.
Go buy his Excel course.
But no, man,
I get it. And I think that's a part of it too, man. That's a part of, you know, it's part of what we're talking about is failure. And I think, you know, people got, you know, and that was before I had Creating Daily, I had Creating for Money, and people do lose their mind over money. Similar to failure, right?
Yeah.
Similar to failure. That same, like, I can't believe you're talking about failure. It's like, mm-hmm. I can't believe you're talking about creating for money. Like, you should create for no reason. You should create for fun. You should create for whatever. And I'm like, nah, dude, I'm a business guy. I'm a content creator who wants to create content full time. And unfortunately, my kid doesn't have a job to feed himself, you know, or my house have a job to pay. So it's like, you know, and that's not the reason, but it's like there is opportunity for content creators to make, you know, money off
so I think
of
my
content
problem-
creation, right? So it's interesting for sure.
I've sent $200,000 quotes to companies for things I would do for them. But I think, meaning like I'm not uncomfortable with money. I've actually worked with it on a high level at companies. But I think the thing is I associate Excel so much with all those firings and those negative feelings.
Okay.
That if I was making money in something else,
yeah,
it would feel more natural because I feel like I'm like got to pretend like I'm a success guy. When it's the Excel thing, you know, and I can't talk about all the times I've been fired, but I put that in my training, my acronym. And what is Excel is F-I-R-E-D, you know, financial stuff, reporting, whatever. Like I use that as an acronym and try to embrace it, but it's tough because if I'm doing B2B stuff, I got to interact with the people who I haven't always seen eye to eye, but I can't judge them for the people I've experienced with, you know?
I'm with you, man. I have a past job career like that where I feel like I could be really effective in that space, but I have a lot of bad experience in that space. So I go, you know what? I'm just not going to go there. So I get that, man. And that's a whole nother conversation for a different day and probably more for a therapist, not Ben and Billy.
Yeah, but it is like the easiest way for me to make money. I should just embrace it, you know?
Yeah.
So I just got to get past a few different weird and negative associations with money and the way I'm doing it, but I'm always giving more than I take. And also
I know
how much value you get, how much time you save. It's insane.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If I could take my boss's 7-hour thing and make it take 15 minutes, but then they put 6 hours and 45 minutes of extra work on my plate, even though they were paying the other guy more to do the 7 hours, you know? So then I'd say it'll take 7 hours and then 15 minutes before it's due, I hit my little macro or whatever. And that's, you know, because I'm not, why not keep the time you save?
Yeah.
Why you keep gaining efficiency, but then they still get 40 hours a week, you know?
So, all right, man. So I'm gonna move us along here. Not that I have a real agenda, but I do think that, and we could talk, you know, about that corporate stuff all day, man. I do think there's stuff that happens in businesses and, you know, people want to position themselves to scale. And that's a part of my business too. It's like, people are like, dude, how come we don't have like 10 people creating podcasts for you with, doing your shows that are successful and just kind of copy and paste in different areas. And it really is because I don't want to do that. Like I want to enjoy the process. I want to enjoy the creative process. I don't want to manage a team of people and I don't want to scale this whole thing at this moment. Now, it could come to where
it's like a back burner plan because you can always fall back on doing the normal thing, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely, man. It's not really like, oh, will I fail or will I not feed those people's families or whatever? But it does stem back to ways I was treated in that corporate workplace. So that is pretty interesting thing there, man. So I love this conversation, Ben. I think we could take it a million different ways. But what is, like, tell me about a time that you really, like, we're talking about embracing failure. So tell me a story or tell me a time that you really and I'm going to use quotations, failed, because I'm still struggling to chew that word.
Okay, here we go. So I've got a new word. I've got a new word that I've come up with, or it's not a new word. It's Yojimbo, which is a 1961
Yojimbo?
Japanese movie. Yeah, Yojimbo. And so it's a verb that I'm creating this now as a verb. So Yojimboing something means it's basically the art of embracing failure and making something more beautiful. So a failure happens, right? So let's say you have you're at a half tank of gas, right? You hit a failure and it depletes you to zero. Yojimboing would be go full gas tank. So like do something even more extreme that you wouldn't have done if you hadn't failed to make it even better. So an example would be on this massive road trip that eventually ended in my murdering my car. I had been going through various states. Some where marijuana is legal, some where it isn't. And one of my failures was that I had some with me and it was all ground up. And then I spilled it all everywhere. And it was a lot. So that was a shitty moment and it was a failure for sure. I mean, there's no way I was looking at that as positive, you know, because it was a bunch of money and stuff. And then like if I go to the next state, it's all over the place. So the Yojimboing that situation would be not just dealing with the fact that I lost all that. It would be getting my car detailed because I never gotten my car detailed before and going the other way, doing something I wouldn't have done if it wasn't for that failure. So like take that failure and make it actually something better. And there's this really cool thing in Japanese pottery called kintsugi. I wrote a thing about it on LinkedIn, but it's they'll take broken bowls, broken plates, and they'll put them back together, and they put this gold stuff in it, which fills in the cracks, but it highlights those imperfections. And it's all about like how we are our imperfections, and we should celebrate that. And it's a cool way of like saying that like it's emphasizing the bad parts of what it is, because that's what makes us who we are, you know, like what makes me, honestly, part of what helped most was growing a beard. If anyone doesn't grow a beard or hasn't tried growing a beard, that's one of my tips of success, honestly.
To grow a beard?
Grow a beard. Up until pandemic, I didn't grow a beard at all. I looked like Mr. Clean, and I didn't have any confidence whatsoever. I thought because I couldn't grow it up here, that I couldn't grow it down here.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to go between that bad state. But then when masks were a thing, I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And my ex at the time liked it. But then once I grew a beard, I was way more comfortable on camera. I usually was like just doing screen recordings of Excel stuff and I wouldn't want to be on camera. And I was like, why do they want to see me or whatever? But the beard helps. So if you've not tried it, give it a shot. Have you tried it?
Oh, dude, I couldn't grow a beard, man.
See, that's what I thought. That's what I said to myself.
No, I just can't.
Until I was 35.
Yeah. Well, okay. I can't. Yeah, I'm 35. I'm like, dude, I couldn't grow one. And then it itches me to death anyway. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to cut this off.
Good. Oh, give it a shot.
I might give it a shot. I'm not promising anybody.
I looked like Peach Fuzz Magoo for a long time, and it just also was a little patchy. But you give it a few goes, and it actually works out. I mean, or not. And then you find out. But if you find out, like me, that I could have had one 10 years ago, and I'm just mad at myself that I did not have a beard the whole time. That's a failure. I would have went back and had a beard if I could go back. That's, see what I'm saying? If you go back and change something, that's
yeah, true. Of course, you know, and I love that, you know, you got to focus on the positive. And this happened last week, and people that, you know, listened to the show or whatever, they heard the story last week of where I was selling a car here in Puerto Rico. So I cleaned it up nice, got it all looking spiffy, parked it out where I always park it for the last 10 months. Somebody comes by, gets in it, robs it, steals the stereo, steals $500 worth of snorkel gear, steals my chairs, like my fold up chairs. Like, dude, come on. And so, but you know, if I had to trace my steps, I don't know exactly, unless they're really good lock pickers, I left the door unlocked because there wasn't a smash window. So I left the back hatch. I'm 100% sure I left it unlocked because it's a pain in the butt, or was, to open and close and lock and unlock and all that kind of stuff. I'd like have to turn the key and like beat the side of the thing to get the mechanism to turn to unlock the back hatch. And so, you know, ticked off for probably like 2 hours, just like losing my mind. Like, dude, what is going on? You know, and I'm trying to sell the car. So now I'm going to sell it without a stereo and, you know, so all this kind of stuff. So the cops roll up. They're like, yeah, basically, like, go jump off a bridge. Like, we can't help you. They didn't say jump off a bridge, but they're like, you know, you're not going to be here in a week. Like, there's no sense in us going after this. However, one of the cops ended up buying the car, which was pretty cool. And so I was like, what seemed like a big, ginormous pain in the butt actually turned out to be something super easy. And we went to the lawyer's office to do all the paperwork yesterday. No money out of pocket. I guess it was a, you know, one of those bro deals or whatever, where it's like, all right, cool, man. No more money. Okay. No money out of pocket. Money in my pocket. Like, let's go, you know, let's take it. And so I think oftentimes, man, we probably as people get in the situation where it's like the failure, the quote unquote failure is here. And what I learned from that experience was like, take a deep breath and just wait for the good thing to come on the other side of it. Cause it's coming, you know, and I've seen that a lot in my life where, and I haven't done that. I've been really reactive to stuff when I really just need to, like, don't do anything. Just chill, let the cards fall me, you know, where they will. And this happened in a situation a couple weeks ago, too, over a financial deal that was going, I thought was going sideways. And I was about to kind of hit it head on. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take my hands off of it. I'm going to relax. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. And it ended up working itself out for the benefit of both parties. And so, yeah, man, I like it, dude. I think that's a good takeaway from the show is like, dude, just because what you're saying is like, it's going to turn around. Like, you've seen good come out of all the bad stuff, out of all the quote unquote failures.
A good thing to do is when you do succeed or have any kind of success in the future, think about the things you messed up earlier that you didn't mess up this time because of those, you know?
True.
Be like,
yeah.
Oh, I did this big deal and I didn't mess up this one part because I had gotten screwed over on a previous deal or whatever the thing is, you know, you like celebrate in the success, that failure that led you there. Because a lot of times we forget, we're just like, oh, we're the man. Everyone is now finding out because we're succeeding. But really we should think, okay, well, you know, what prior failures do I have to thank for this kind of thing?
Yeah, man. Love it, dude. Well, Ben, high five, long distance, man. This has been great. Love having you on the show. I knew it was going to be fun. I apologize if I was a little distracted with all the moving and all that kind of stuff, but I knew you're a pro mic, so I knew you were just going to come in and lay down the gold, so I appreciate you being here. And if there's anything I can do for you, man, once you're ready to start hyperselling that Excel program, let me know. Actually, let me buy it because I'm pretty terrible at Excel, so we'll see.
I mean, I'll give you the 100% off code. That's my most used code.
I would say yes, but Sid Meadows will chastise me in the chat. So your business coach there, and he will chastise you probably for saying that as well. But man, really appreciate you, brother.
I'm gonna send you the free one. Don't worry about it. All right. And also, thank you for being here with me. I mean, I know that, you know, it's not easy to do what you do every day. I don't know how long you've been doing it, but I remember when you said you were starting it, and you're still doing it. So good job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I don't know what episode this is, 42, 43, something like that. So.
You're approaching me. I'm at 56 after two and a half years. So, yeah, like, hey, you're
at your own pace, man. At your own pace. So, yeah. It's awesome, man. So, really appreciate you, Ben. We'll talk to you later, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, that is all over here at Creating Daily. Really appreciate you being a part of the show. And once again, if you found any value in this at all, be sure to hit that subscribe, that like button, do whatever. And I'm going to be back tomorrow with James Hicks. We're actually going to be on all these platforms that we're on and then also on Amazon Live because we're going to be talking about the tech stuff, microphones, cameras, lights, all that fun stuff. I'm going to be using my FaceTime camera as I did today so you can see you don't need all the pro gear to make it happen. Even though I'm not going to let up my mic. Okay, we'll talk about that tomorrow. So go check that out. And if you're following somewhere in the show notes, you'll see the Amazon link, or you just go to streamteamlive.com. There we go, streamteamlive.com. My friend John Dispense and I have an Amazon Live account in business. So we are over there, and that's where I'm going to stream to. So you can check that out. And then I'll share James's tomorrow. I don't have it in front of me. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the last show that I do for the month of May. And then after tomorrow's show, I'll be back on June 1st, as long as all the stuff makes it to where it needs to be and I can get it reset up. So pretty excited about that. But anyway, thanks for joining the show. You guys are awesome, and take care. We'll see you soon.